Welcome to Knowing Him. This is Steve Danielson.
And this is Angie Danielson.
Join us each week as we explore the hymns of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints and share our feelings, insights, and reflections about how each one brings us closer to Jesus Christ.
Enjoy your favorites and find some undiscovered gems in our journey to knowing Him.
Welcome, friends, to today's episode of Knowing Him. I'm your host, Steve Danielson, and I'm here with my glad co-host, Angie. Welcome, Angie.
Hi.
So Angie and I both, that's right. We have a good reason to be glad this week. We're actually recording this over Zoom because Angie is not here in the same space with me. She is visiting our oldest daughter who just had her first baby and made us grandparents. We are so excited.
Yeah. A lot of fun.
So it's incredible to think that our daughter is a mom. That is still strange to me. And our song today becomes even more applicable as a new child enters the world. We are talking today about hymn number 304, Teach Me to Walk in the Light. It's such a beautiful and well-crafted song. I'm excited to talk about it today. And this week's hymn corresponds to the Come Follow Me reading in the book of Galatians. Can't believe they gave us an entire book that we have to read.
It's only like seven chapters, isn't it?
Six, I think. Yeah, it's not. Is it seven?
I can't remember.
Yeah, it's just six. Yeah, so it's short. So I think we can handle this. All right, so our lyricist and composer, just like last week, are the same person. So sometimes we run into the problem of having way too much material to write about someone, and sometimes we have hardly anything. So that's sort of the problem I ran into today. Our composer and lyricist is Clara Elizabeth Watkins McMaster, but there's just not a ton written about her. So I dug deep, found everything I could, and I'm just going to give it all to you today.
She's got a long name.
Yeah, so she was born Clara Elizabeth Watkins and then married Stuart McMaster later, and I'll talk about that. So interestingly, when the hymn book was first published in 1985, she was still alive. So in the original printing of the 1985 hymn book, it just had birth date 1904, but then later reprints have added her death date of 1997. So I did not realize there were some editorial changes like that with the 1985 hymn book, but sure enough, there were, because we have two different versions. We have two different versions just at our house.
Yeah, that's crazy.
So she was born in Beaver Dam, Utah. I'm not sure where that town got its name. to Joseph and Lydia Watkins, and she was their 11th child. And I could not find if there were more children, but she was at least number 11. Very musical family, siblings all making music. When she was older, she married her high school sweetheart, Stuart McMaster, with whom she shared a long musical career. So through their over 60 years of marriage, they sang at thousands of community and church gatherings, funerals, missionary farewells, etc. They just did a lot together.
Wow.
Yeah. Later in their lives, from 1970 to 73, they presided over the Kansas, Missouri mission, including Independence, Missouri, and the other church history sites there. I think that would be a really cool mission to serve in.
Yeah, that's super cool.
And in 1978, they were both awarded the Franklin S. Harris Fine Arts Award from Brigham Young University in recognition for their musical service. Franklin S. Harris, of course, is who the Fine Arts Building at BYU was named after. It's the building that was just torn down recently. Very sad to see that go, but they received this award back in 1978.
Wasn't he a president of BYU at one point?
I don't know. I don't think so. At least I didn't see anything. Oh, sorry. Franklin S. Harris. Yes. I thought you were talking about Stuart McMaster.
No.
Yes. Yes, he was. Thinking about Clara McMaster, she was a member of the Tabernacle Choir for 23 years. And during that time, she was also a member of the Primary General Board for 14 years. And many of her songs, like today's song, are songs for children. Since she was on that Primary General Board, she was writing songs geared toward children. Other songs that we have of hers included in the Children's Songbook, Reverently Quietly, Kindness Begins With Me, Choose the Right Way, Remember the Sabbath Day, and My Heavenly Father Loves Me.
Oh, those are good ones.
They're great, and they're all very well known. Well, Remember the Sabbath Day, I did have to look up. I didn't know that one, but the other ones I knew right away. Great songwriter. Very
Yeah, we love those primary songs. Is that other one that we don't know? Is that in our current children's songbook, or is that in
Yeah.
like the old Sing With Me?
No, it's in our current book. I just wasn't one I was familiar with.
Yeah, I don't think we sing a lot of those ones that are kind of like the ones they used to sing when it was like primary was kind of separate from
Separated,
everything else, and yeah, during the weekday or whatever. And
yeah.
they've kept some of those in the hymn book, but I don't think we sing them as much as they did, before.
Yeah, again, it'll be interesting to see what ends up in the new hymn book coming out next year.
Yeah.
Well, Claire died in 1997 in Salt Lake County. So I'd like to tell you sort of about writing this hymn that we're talking about today. So she wrote Teach Me to Walk in the Light on a special assignment to be performed by a primary choir for the 1958 General Conference. And I always
Oh,
thought that
wow.
would be a tremendous burden. I don't know if burden is the right word.
Undertaking?
Undertaking. Yeah, just have
Yeah.
that weight of knowing you're writing a song that will be performed for General Conference. But she was on the music committee of the primary general board. So they came to her and said, "We want you to write this." And at the first,
Didn't somebody.
oh, sorry, go
Oh,
ahead.
didn't somebody else we talked about ha have a song sung at General Conference? It was like a children's choir. I
Yep, it has happened before.
can't remember if that was Naomi Randall or if that was somebody else.
I want to say it was. I want to say it was. Well, I know we talked about it with I'm a Child of God, but I don't remember if it was the first performance of it, or if it was a subsequent performance, but I know it was sung very soon after it was written at conference. Anyway,
Yeah.
first performance of Teach Me to Walk in the Light. The primary children sang the first verse. Then the parents and the teachers in the audience sang the second verse, and then everyone sang the third verse altogether. So
Oh, wow.
I don't know if they had this projected up on a screen or if they took time, like go through the melody or if they handed out copies. I really don't know how it all worked, but everybody at least knew it there at that first performance to sing along. So
I wish they had that conference recorded
I know.
on online. Yeah,
That'd be pretty cool.
that would be cool. I don't think they go back that far on on the
No,
Gospel Library.
I think in the Gospel Library it's back to the 70s.
Yeah.
So Sister McMaster said about this song, "The scriptures are filled with this great important message, walk in the light. And I have often gone to the scriptures for guidance and direction in my assignments." So when she got the assignment to write this, she naturally turned to the scripture, to the scriptures, and found a couple, found these references that sort of gave her the idea, the inspiration for the song. I would like to point out the two verses that are at the bottom of the hymn book page, sort of the verses that the music committee said these would go along well with this hymn. Isaiah 2:5, "O house of Jacob, come ye and let us walk in the light of the Lord." And then
That's a good one.
Ephesians 5:8, "For ye were sometimes darkness, but now ye are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." I like that.
That's good too.
Yeah, to be
So were
children of
those the
light.
scriptures that she used to as inspiration, or did you find the scripture she used?
It did not mention anywhere exactly which scripture she used, but these were the two that were referenced at the bottom of the hymn book page. So, the name of the hymn tune, I thought this was interesting. She called it Autumn because it was her favorite season.
Oh,
Yeah.
interesting.
I keep thinking I should go back and give my hymns that I've written, give them tune names. That seems to be the thing that you should do with hymns. And I've never done that.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. So for those that don't know the song, this is a song written as a dialogue between a child who calls for guidance and the response from a parent or teacher, which is why it was presented the way it was in General Conference. The third verse is sung together as a prayer of gratitude. Angie, I don't know, did you pull up the words of the hymn over there?
I can pull them up. from my gospel library.
That's right. I've got it open here. I'm just going to read through the verses here.
Okay.
Teach me to walk in the light of his love. Teach me to pray to my Father above. Teach me to know of the things that are right. Teach me to walk in the light. Come, little child, and together we'll learn of his commandments that we may return home to his presence, to live in his sight, always, always to walk in the light. Father in heaven, we thank thee this day for loving guidance to show us the way. Grateful, we praise thee with songs of delight. Gladly, gladly, we'll walk in the light. It's just such a pretty little song.
Yeah, simple and beautiful. I'm glad they put it in the hymn book for sacrament meeting.
Yeah.
Not just for primary.
And it's got a simple enough tune that kids can hook onto it very quickly as well, which I think is really important.
Yeah. I liked one of the things that said about the new hymn book that's coming out, is the reason they're going to put the children's songs in there is so that children can feel like sacrament meeting is for them as well.
Mm.
And I thought that was really cool in the article that I read.
Yeah.
That they want them to be able to recognize the songs and be like, oh, I know this song and I want to sing along. So.
Yeah. It also makes the hymns that aren't quote unquote children's hymns. It makes that sort of part of their repertoire as well. Like, it's not, these are forbidden. These are only adult hymns and you sing these, like, these are all available for everyone.
Yeah.
Anyway, I liked the sort of in our hymn here, we have sort of this summation at the end of each verse that I really liked. So the first verse sums up with teach me to walk in the light, our title. Then the second one, always to walk in the light. Sort of the admonition from the parents, you know, stay in the light. This is where you need to be. I'll teach you and then stay there. And then third, singing together, gladly we'll walk in the light. I sort of liked that summation there.
Yeah.
So Angie, here's a question for you. Why is light so important? Why do we want to walk in the light?
I think it goes back to the fact that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and life. He's the light of the world. He's the way to follow. And when we follow him, we have light, like not only physical light, but spiritual light in our lives and understanding and direction. And without him, it's like darkness, spiritual darkness. So talking about walking in the light of Christ and being able to follow him to return to live with Heavenly Father.
Yeah. I wanted to share a story here. This is the parable of the two lamps. And I've heard this several times. It's been several years since I've heard it. But I was just thinking about it while I was thinking about light. This is written by James E. Talmadge. And it's sort of a dated story. It takes place early 20th century. But I would like to read through this story if I could. So he writes, among the material things of the past, things that I treasure for sweet memory's sake and because of pleasant association bygone days, is a lamp. The lamp of which I speak, the student lamp of my school and college days, was one of the best of its kind, and I had bought it with a hard-earned savings. It was counted among my most cherished possessions. One summer evening, I sat musing studiously and withal restfully in the open air outside the door of the room in which I lodged and studied. A stranger approached. I noticed that he carried a satchel. He was affable and entertaining. I brought another chair from within. We chatted together till the twilight had deepened into dusk, the dusk into darkness. Then he said, "You are a student, and doubtless have much work to do at nights. What kind of lamp do you use?" And without waiting for a reply, he continued, "I have a superior kind of lamp I should like to show you, a lamp designed and constructed according to the latest achievements of applied science, far surpassing anything heretofore produced as a means of artificial lighting." I replied with confidence, and I confess, not without some exultation, "My friend, I have a lamp, one that has been tested and proved. It has been to me a companion through many a long night. It is an Argand lamp, and one of the best. I have trimmed it and cleaned it today. It is ready for the lighting. Step inside. I will show you my lamp. Then you may tell me whether yours can possibly be better. We entered my study room, and with a feeling which I assume is akin to that of the athlete about to enter a contest with one whom he regards as a pitiably inferior opponent, I put the match to my well-trimmed argand. My visitor was voluble in his praise. It was the best lamp of its kind, he said. He averred that he had never seen a lamp in better trim. He turned the wick up and down and pronounced the adjustment perfect. He declared that never before had he realized how satisfactory a student lamp could be. I liked the man. He seemed to me wise, and he assuredly was ingratiating. Love me, love my lamp, I thought, mentally paraphrasing a common expression of the period. Now, he said, with your permission, I'll light my lamp. He took from his satchel a lamp, then known as the Rochester. It had a chimney, which compared with mine, was as a factory smokestack alongside a house flue. Its hollow wick was wide enough to admit my four fingers. Its light made bright the remotest corner of my room. In its brilliant blaze, my own little argand wick burned a weak, pale yellow. Until that moment of convincing demonstration, I had never known the dim obscurity in which I had lived and labored, studied and struggled. I'll buy your lamp, said I. You need neither explain nor argue further. I took my new acquisition to the laboratory that same night and determined its capacity. It turned over at 48 candle power, fully four times the intensity of my student lamp. 2 days after purchasing, I met the lamp peddler on the street about noontime. To my inquiry, he replied the business was good. The demand for his lamp was greater than the factory supply. But, said I, you are not working today? His rejoinder was a lesson. Do you think that I would be so foolish as to go around trying to sell lamps in the daytime? Would you have bought one if I had lighted it for you and the sun was shining? I chose the time to show you the superiority of my lamp over yours, and you were eager to own the better one I offered, were you not? Such is the story. Now consider the application of a part, a very small part thereof. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Matthew 5:16. The man who had sell me a lamp did not disparage mine. He placed his greater light alongside my feebler flame, and I hastened to obtain the better. The missionary servants of the Church of Jesus Christ today are sent forth not to assail or ridicule the beliefs of men, but to set before the world a superior light, by which the smoky dimness of the flickering flames of man-made creed shall be apparent. The work of the church is constructive, not destructive. As to the further meaning of the parable, let him that hath eyes and a heart to see and understand.
So, that was good.
Yeah, I love that story. And sort of the things that I got out of it, the more light we have, the better we see. The more light we have, the more light we can share. And we should have gratitude for the added light. If we receive further light from God, we should be grateful for it. And that's what we see in our hymn. We have the child who says, teach me about this light. We have the parent who says, let me teach you. And then together, we gratefully praise you and gladly will walk in the light.
Yeah, that's beautiful.
All right. So I haven't really talked about the scriptures that are actually involved in this week's Come Follow Me. So let me touch that real quick. So we are talking about the book of Galatians. And the phrase walk in the light actually isn't used in Galatians, but we do find some parallels. So in Galatians 3, verse 11, says, but that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith. So I think living by faith and walking in the light are very similar.
Yeah, synonymous.
And then in Galatians 5, verse 25, we have, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. So Galatians 5 famously has the passage about the fruit of the Spirit. So here's the thought. What happens if you're trying to walk in the Spirit, but your efforts don't seem to be bearing the promised fruit? I mean, we have these fruits of the Spirit listed here in Galatians. You know, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. So what do we do if we walk in the Spirit, but we don't seem to be seeing those fruits? What do you think, Ange?
I don't know. I think that we need to take a step back and look at things from a wider angle. I was just reading in the Liahona magazine about the simplicity of the gospel, and there's a quote by Elder Uchtdorf from a talk that he gave a while back about the gospel working wonderfully for you. The title is something like that. And he talks about how sometimes people don't feel like the gospel is working wonderfully for them. And he said, sometimes we need to pause and take a step back and look at things from a higher plane. And then we see how God's hand is in the little details of our life. You know, sometimes if we're too hyper-focused or whatever, we miss seeing what God is doing for us. So maybe the fruits of the Spirit are there, but we're not seeing them. So.
Yeah, the Come Follow Me manual actually points us to another scripture in Galatians 6, verses 7 to 10. And I think it says sort of a different phrasing of what you just said. It said, be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. So if we are doing good, if we're walking in the Spirit, then good will happen. And we may not see it right away. We may have to look at it in a different way, a different angle. If we're doing good, then good will happen. Doesn't necessarily mean that everything in our life will be perfect, but we will see those fruits of the Spirit eventually if we continue to walk in the Spirit.
And sometimes I think we miss it because we're expecting it to only happen in one certain way. And when it doesn't happen that way, then we're like, oh, God's not blessing me, or God's not doing anything good in my life. Well, that's because we only have one specific thing in mind, you know? But that's not how God works. And we need to, like I said, step back and see things from his perspective a little bit more than we do.
All right. Well, I think we are ready to sing our hymn. We're going to do it a little different today since we're over Zoom. So Angie's going to sing the first verse, then I'm going to sing the second verse. And then Angie's going to sing the third verse. And I'm going to edit myself over the third verse. So we'll have that duet on the third verse.
Hopefully that'll work.
Hopefully it'll work. So Angie, take it away.
Can you give me a note? Teach me to walk in the light of his love. Teach me to pray to my Father above. Teach me to know of the things that are right. Teach me to walk in the light.
Come, little child, and together we'll learn of his commandments that we may return home to his presence to live in his sight, always, always to walk in the light. Father in heaven, we thank thee this day for loving guidance to show us the way. Grateful we praise thee with songs of delight. Gladly, gladly, we'll walk in the light. Well, friends, thank you for joining us today as we discussed the hymn, Teach Me to Walk in the Light. As always, it's a joy to be with you and to discuss the hymns. If you'd like to connect with us, please email us at knowinghim@gmail.com or contact us through our website, knowinghim.weebly.com. We'd love to hear from you, what you think about the podcast and about the hymns. In the meantime, I hope you'll join us next week as we sing our way to knowing Him.